But it is very good to be here with you today in Korean, and I want to say well done to the boys and girls who did very, very well. I was very impressed. You've all sang and read wonderfully, and it's good to be here with you today and to come and to bring your story today. And before we come to our story, we're going to pray first though, and you all know the ABC of prayer. Have you ever heard of this before? Well, A, we're going to fold our arms, and everybody folding their arms. B, we're going to bow our heads. And C, we're going to close our eyes. We're going to close our mouths and we're going to pray unto God. Remember, we're going to pray to God. So we have to be quiet. We have to be still. And we're going to pray and we're going to ask God to come down amongst us today and to give us help as we come and look at the story. Our dear Heavenly Father, we thank Thee, Lord, for already this day. We thank Thee, Lord, for everything that we've heard, everything that was sung, everything that was read. And we just pray, Lord, be with us now as we look at the story today. Even help me as I bring it forth to the boys and girls and to the adults as well. And we pray, Lord, that Thou would speak to some little boy or girl here today, even who's not saved, and that Thou would show them the need of a Saviour. In name's sake, we ask all of these things. Amen. Okay, boys and girls, it is Children's Day today. But what other day is it today? This is another special day. Oh, many hands are up. Good job. What day is it? Father's Day. Good job. Now, can anybody tell me, did anybody get their daddy innocent knife for Father's Day today? What did anybody get them? What did you get your daddy? Grumpy daddy, oh dear. Well, that's going to be maybe not right. Anybody else anything for their daddy? Any of the boys? What did you get for your daddy? Liquors? Oh, I wouldn't like that if I, oh no, not liquors. Also, anybody else? What did you get your daddy? A card. Oh, lovely. Well, I got my daddy a shirt and a tie for church, so hopefully he'll be wearing it to church today. And even when you're my age, you still have to get your daddy a present for Father's Day. It's not terrible, but no, it's good. And Father's Day is the day where we show our dads how much we love them. And we give them a card, we give them a present sometimes too, just to show them how much that we love our daddies. And you know, our daddies should know every day of the year that we love them. But especially on this day every year, we tell our daddies and we show our daddies that we love them from the presents and the cards that we give them. And you know, there's many stories about how Father's Day came about. Now, according to Google, so if Google is wrong, I'm wrong, but according to Google, Father's Day started back in 1909, back in a place out in the USA. And this girl, her name was Sonara, and her mummy had died when she was a little girl. And her father had raised her and her five brothers and sisters all by himself. And one day she was sitting in church, and it was Mother's Day. And she thought to herself, well, this isn't very fair, because mothers are getting all this recognition, and so they should. Mothers are great as well, and it's good. They get recognition, but you know, I think my daddy should get some recognition for all the hard work that he has done, because he has raised me and my five brothers and sisters all by himself. And that is one story about how Father's Day started. She was really angry. She was cross. And the next year, Father's Day, apparently, according to Google, happened. And so that's the story of how Father's Day started. But you know, we read about fathers in the Bible as well. You read from the very beginning of the Bible, right from Adam all the way to the end of the Bible, you read about fathers in the Bible. And today, this morning and tonight, we are going to look at two fathers in the Bible, and we're going to see what we can learn from those two fathers. We're going to look at what their relationship was like with their children. And the first father we're going to look at today is a king. He's a very famous king in the Bible. Anyone want to try to guess what very famous king we're going to look at today? Do you know what is it? Who? Yes, he's a very famous king, but we're going to look at him today, but we're going to look at him later. Anybody else want to try to guess? Yes. King David. Good job. Can anybody tell me anything about King David that we know about King David? Yes, do you know that? He defeated a giant. Good job. And we know what the giant's name was. Goliath. Yes, Goliath. You're right. Goliath. King David. He defeated Goliath. And he was a really great king. You know, King David also had a lot of children. He had a lot of sons and daughters. And today we're going to look at one of his sons. Now, some of you might have heard of him before. Some of you might not have. But one of his sons was called Absalom. That's a weird, that's a strange name. You won't find many Absaloms today. But one of his sons was called Absalom. And Absalom, he was known throughout all the land because of something very special about Absalom. Absalom was known for his hair. Absalom had beautiful hair. He had long hair, really thick hair. And the Bible tells us that he was known throughout all the land for his hair. and for how handsome he looked. Everyone knew Absalom because of how handsome he was, and he was well known. And Absalom looked really good on the outside, but Absalom was not good on the inside. Even though he looked good on the outside, his heart was very, very wicked. And we are told that Absalom, he did something terrible. He killed his own brother. Anybody here have a brother? Some of you, I have three sisters, so no brothers. But Absalom, he killed his own brother. Imagine that. Imagine killing your own brother. And do you think David, his dad, was happy that Absalom killed his own brother? No, of course he wasn't. And David, what he did is he sent Absalom away. He sent Absalom away from home for 3 years. And for 3 years, Absalom lived in exile. He wasn't allowed back home. And during those 3 years, Absalom began to really dislike his father. He began to get really angry against David. In fact, it got to the point where Absalom hated his father because of what he had done. Even though it was all Absalom's fault, Absalom had killed his brother, but Absalom started to blame his dad, David, for everything that had happened to him. But after 3 years, David finally allowed Absalom to come back home. And after a while, David was able to go and see Absalom and go and talk with Absalom. But things might have seemed okay on the outside, but still deep inside, Absalom still hated his father. And he hated him so much that he decided that David, his dad, was no longer fit to be king. Absalom decided, I want to be king. And so what Absalom decided to do, he got himself in a chariot. You see him here, he's standing in his chariot. He got loads of horses, he got loads of men, and he started to parade through the streets of Jerusalem. And he started to act like a king. See, Absalom wanted people to leave David and to follow him instead. And he began to really talk to the people and pretend that he cared about the people. And people would have come up to him and said, Absalom, I'm having so many problems. I'm having this and that. And Absalom would have been like, don't you worry. If I was king, I would be able to help you with all these problems. I would be able to help you. People started to really like Absalom. And people started to bow down to Absalom in the streets. But Absalom did something very smart. Instead of allowing them to bow down, he would have hugged them. He would have kissed them on the cheek. He would have showed the people that he pretended that he really cared for them. And after a while, Absalom, he had a great people following him. A great number of people wanted him now to become king over his daddy, David. Absalom, he decided that the time was right, and he went off to a place called Hebron, and there he made himself king. But was he the right king? Was he the true king? No, because God had said that David was the king. And so in God's eyes, Absalom, even though he'd made himself king, Absalom was never king. Now, do you think when David heard the news that Absalom had made himself king, was David happy? No, of course he wasn't. David was really sad. He was really sad about this. And what made it worse was that David's friends, a lot of David's friends, had left him and went and followed after Absalom instead. And what made it also worse for David was that David now realized that he would have to go and fight his son to get his kingdom back. Do you think David wanted to fight his son? No. Because did David love Absalom? Yeah, he did. Because even though Absalom had done all these things that were bad, he was still David's son. And David still loved him. And David just wanted to show him the way that he should live his life right before God. Sometimes, boys and girls, your daddy or your mummy can tell you off for something you've done wrong. And you think to yourself, that's not fair. I always get told off and I'm not really doing anything bad. Why do they always shout at me? And Jonathan, my mummy and daddy still shout at me, even though I'm the age I am too. But you might think to yourself, they don't love me anymore because they're shouting at me, they're telling me off. But they do love you, and you're telling you off because they do love you. And they just want you to live the best way that you can live before God. And just because your mummy and daddy might shout at you, just because David was angry with Absalom, didn't mean that he didn't love Absalom. And he just wanted to show Absalom the best way that he could live before God. And we're told that when David heard the news of what Absalom had done, We are told that he had to take his family, the rest of the family that he had. He had to flee away from Jerusalem because he knew Absalom would come and attack and kill him. And so we are told that he walked barefoot from Jerusalem up to the Mount of Olives, and he went there with his family. Now, boys and girls, what was David going to do next? Now, if you had an army coming to attack you, and you wanted to find out what that army was going to do, what would you send out to the army? What would you send to the army to try to find out what the other army was going to do? A spy, you're right. So, David, he sent a spy into Absalom's army. And that spy was called Hushai. All right, not a strange name, not that many Hushais about to say either. But he sent Hushai into Absalom's army. And he was going to spy out what was going to happen. And so David, he waited at Mount Olives. I'm sure he was scared. I'm sure he wondered what was going to happen. And he waited to hear back from his spy, Hushai, to see what was going to happen. And so Hushai, he began his very dangerous mission to go and to spy out Absalom. Because if Hushai had been caught, he would have been killed by Absalom. So we have Absalom here. He's ready to get fighting. He's ready to take over the throne completely. And he's asking his advisors, people around him, what he should do. And one of his advisors said, "Well, Absalom, what I think you should do, I think you should attack tonight. Right now, go take 1,200 men, or 12,000 men, sorry, take 12,000 men, go find David, attack him tonight. He'll not be ready. He'll be surprised. There'll be an element of surprise. And that means that David, you can defeat him very, very easily." And that was very good advice that this advisor gave to Absalom. And I'm sure that if he had done that advice, if he had taken those 12,000 men and attacked David that night, David would have probably been killed. But who was looking out for David? Who was looking out for David? Yes, God. Because God knew that David was the true king. And David believed in God, and God was looking out for David. Remember, who was the spy called? Anybody remember? Strange name, anybody remember? Do you remember? No? Anybody? Hushai. Oh, go for it. Hushai, yes, good job. And Hushai, Absalom had asked Hushai as well what he should do. And Hushai, under the guidance of God, said to Absalom, "Absalom, I wouldn't attack tonight. David is mad. David is really, really angry. And he has all of his fighters around him, his trained fighters. If you attack tonight, David will defeat you and David will kill you." And Hushai then said, "What I would do is I would wait a wee weeks. And I would gather up a massive army and then go and fight David." Now, this wasn't the best advice for Absalom, because that meant that David had time to get ready for the fight. But Absalom, he thought, because God made it in his heart to think this, God told Hushai to give him this advice. And Absalom said, "That's brilliant advice. I'm going to go with what Hushai said." Was that the best advice to go for? No. Remember, God was looking out for David. And we are told then that David, when he heard this, he then had time to get his army all prepared and to get himself ready for Absalom to come and attack. And David got three of his best commanders of his army to get the army ready to go and attack Absalom. But you know, did David still love Absalom? Yes, he did. And we can see that in the fact that David told his commanders not to kill Absalom. He told his commanders to deal gently with him and not kill him. And that's because David still loved Absalom. He was still his son. And you know, the battle began. And who do you think won? Did David win or did Absalom win? Who won? Who thinks David won? Who thinks Absalom won? Who did win? Anybody know? Do you want to try again? Who won? David did win, yes. Why did David win? Who was in David's side? Yes. God was in David's side. And David won the battle against Absalom. And many of Absalom's men, they perished. They were killed by David's army. And David's army won the battle. But what about poor Absalom? Well, who remembers what was special about Absalom? What did he have that everybody talked about? Yes, his hair. It's quite a funny part of the story. Because poor Absalom, he was fleeing. He was running away from the battle. He was running away from David's men. I remember his hair was probably streaming out behind him, and he was running along or riding along on his horse, and they went under a large oak tree, and poor Absalom's hair got caught in the branches of the oak tree. But his horse didn't realize this, and his horse just went on, ran on ahead. And poor Absalom, you can see him here, he was caught by his hair in the oak tree, and he was just dangling from the tree. He couldn't do anything. He couldn't get out. The harder he moved his hair, the more he got tangled up. And poor Absalom was just hanging there without nobody to help him, nobody to protect him. And who came along but David's men? Now, what did David say not to do to Absalom? Yes, to kill him. But you know, his commanders, they did a bad thing. They didn't listen to David. And we are told that his commanders came up and they killed Absalom, even though David had told them not to, but they killed Absalom. I know David, a messenger came up to David and told David the news that Absalom had died. How do you think David reacted to the news? Was he happy? Was he sad? How do you think? How did he feel? Yes. He was angry, yes, because they killed him, and he was most of all, he was sad. And we are told that David, he mourned for his son. He wept. He mourned for his son that had died. Because remember, he still loved Absalom. Even though Absalom had done so many things that were wrong in the eyes of God, he'd done so many things that were wrong to David, yet David still loved Absalom. And we are told that he mourned. He wept for his son. He was deep grief over the fact that his son died, because David was still Absalom's father. You know, that reminds us of God's love for us. You are reading, some of you are reading here today through John 3, verse 6, through John 3. And that verse 16, can anybody tell me that verse 16? Anybody want to shout it out if you know it? Yeah? Begotten Son. You're right. Very good. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. You know, God has loved you and me so much that he was willing to send his only Son to die on the cross for your sins. And even though you have done so many things wrong against God, even though you have sinned, you've lied, you've maybe cheated, you've maybe stole, you've maybe said things to your mummy and daddy that you shouldn't have said, you maybe have done all of these things, yet God loved you so much that he sent his son to die on the cross for your sins. And all that you have to do, if you still haven't asked God into your heart to take away your sins, all that you have to do is to come and ask God to repent, to turn away from your sins and ask God to take away your sins. I know you have a choice. Each one of us here have a choice to make this morning. Whether we will see God's love for us, whether we will see that God did love us, and whether we will see that we need to come and ask God to take away our sins. Or we can either be like that, or we can be like Absalom. David loved Absalom, and David was trying to show Absalom how he should live right before God. But Absalom wanted nothing to do with David. Absalom wanted nothing to do with God. Absalom just wanted to live however he wanted to live his life. He didn't want to be governed by anybody. He especially didn't want to be governed by God. And so we all have a choice, the children in here, the adults in here. We all have a choice about whether we want to be those who realise that we need to be sinners, that we are sinners in need of a saviour, or whether we are going to be like Absalom, who didn't want to have anything to do with God, didn't want to have anything to do with his father. He didn't want anything to do with having his sins forgiven. And so we all have a choice, and I hope that this morning you will all make the choice to come to the Lord Jesus Christ and ask him to take away your sins, because he died on the cross for our sins. And that is the only way that we can be saved. Now David, he returned home to Jerusalem, and although Absalom had caused him a lot of pain, yet for the next 10 years, David had a very peaceful kingdom. And we are told that another one of his sons became the king over Jerusalem, over Israel. Anybody know who the next king was after David? Next one of David's sons. Do you know? Solomon, good job. Now, Solomon was the complete opposite of Absalom. Solomon, he loved God and he believed in God. And David had brought him up, and Solomon realized the need to follow after God. And Solomon even built a temple for people to go and worship God. And here we have Solomon. He became the next king. But like we said earlier, David, he had many sons. But you know, he had an even greater son than any of the sons we've looked at today. And the greatest son that David ever had was the Lord Jesus Christ. Because even though the Lord Jesus Christ was born many, many years after David died, yet we are told in the Bible that the Lord Jesus Christ is said to be the son of David. You read that in the Bible, Lord Jesus Christ, the son of David. And that's because Jesus Christ's earthly mother and father, Joseph and Mary, they were of the line of David. They were descendants of David. I know we are told in the Bible, again, like we learned a wee bit earlier, this son, the King of Kings, he was an even greater king than David was. He was the King of Kings. And the King of Kings, what did he do? What did the Lord Jesus Christ do when he came to earth? Why did Christ come to earth? Anybody know? Yes. To die on the cross. And why did Christ die on the cross? He just do it? Or why did he do it? Yes. To save us from our sins. You're right. And again, I hope that today that you will come, and if you are not saved, that you will see that the only way you can be saved from your sins is to repent, to turn away from your sins, and to turn to Christ and ask him to take away your sins. Thank you very much for listening. You did very well. And I hope you've all come back tonight, and we're going to look at another father and son tonight, and we're going to see what we can learn from them. Thank you very much.